Today I want to embark on an impossible journey with you, talking about love. Come on. And I really wish there was a formula that I could give you that A plus B equals C. That if you do it this way or that way, everything will work out great. Wouldn't that be great? I just give John Michael that formula right there. I just say, hey, son, there you go. Find this. It'd be great. There is no formula, right? But I'll tell you what, there is some good news today. Because although I cannot make love happen, we can't make love come together, but I tell you what we can do. Is we can recognize there are diseases, cancers that get into our love relationship that can keep it from lasting. And what we can do, though we can't make love happen, what we can do is destroy those things, take away those things that are tearing our love down. And so I'm going to be talking about this throughout the next 4 weeks. Today I want to talk about the art of encouragement. Boy, if there's any disease, any cancer that I see that comes into my office for marriage counseling, one of the biggest cancers is something called discouragement. You ever been discouraged at the office, at home, with your family? You know what happens with discouragement? It's kind of like this bitter root comes up in you, and then fear begins to happen, and you finally find your marriage beginning to separate, because, I mean, it's so common. This pattern happens so often. Trust becomes weak, which leads to a lack of respect, like we saw on the screen, which then separates the two people, and intimacy begins to fall. You don't feel connected. I'm not talking about sexual things here. I'm talking about the intimacy you feel with the other person. And suddenly, after a period of time, you start saying, who is this person I'm in the room with? Who is this person? What's happened? So what I want to talk about over the next 4 weeks is these different things that, and believe me, Dan and I are not the model of married couples, believe me. But what I do want to bring to you is some of the things we've learned, experienced as we've talked to others, that can help your marriage to last forever. Because I believe God wants your marriage to be an eternal marriage. And it just takes work. I mean, marriage is hard work. And we want to make it last. So I want to talk about encouragement. Now, what is encouragement? We're going to get into this in a minute, but the first definition of it reminds me of this little boy who told his dad, I said, hey, Dad, let's play darts. I'll throw the darts, and you say, good job. That's what kids need, this encouragement to keep going. I'll throw the darts, you say, good job. Let me explain encouragement. If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I want to play off Paul's words here in his final instructions to the Thessalonian church, because he uses this word and another to help us understand what we're doing here. Father God, I pray today as we go into your holy word, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts. I know that many who are here have love relationships that are struggling. Some who are preparing to get married, I pray, Lord, they would take these words and put them into action as they get married. I pray for those who are married to take these words from your Holy Scripture and these ideas and apply them to help their marriage grow stronger and not weaker. It also goes with children, Father. As parents, this love relationship can also get discouraged. There's a lot of discouragement with youth and children and their parents. Lord, I pray that these ideas from your holy word will help their parenting and their relationship with their children. And then there are other love relationships with friends and family and church people. All of this, Lord, we want it to grow and last. And we know it's tough. But Lord, as we come together today, we just pray that you will use these words to strengthen our love relationships and guide us closer to you. Father, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me. that each of us here today may receive the very message you'd have us to receive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, the Apostle Paul, in finishing up his encouragement to the church at Thessalonica, said, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. He uses a word, two words connected together, which I love. He says, first, these words are to encourage and to build up. To encourage and to build up. To encourage actually means to incite or inspire courage in someone else. You're in my job, husbands and wives. You're in my job, parents. You're in my job, friends, members of the church. Are to encourage one another. To build up. Now the word build up means to rebuild or restore a house. This reminds me that part of this encouragement is not just inspiring people to do new things, but sometimes it is to restore them when they've had a bad experience. Come on, how many of you ever said, when someone's come to you and said, oh man, I messed up, what do you say to them? Well, you're done. Right? Is that what you say? What do you say? Come on, you can do this. Let's start again. That's why I love these two words. This is the essence of what this encouragement is that we do in our marriages and our families, our relationships. We tell people, hey, you can do this if you haven't ever done this. I want to inspire you to have courage to step out. And I'm sorry, I know you've been through a difficult time, but you can rebuild this house. You can restore this. And so the very understanding of encouragement is to both is to inspire or to incite. In fact, interestingly, the word encouragement actually means to use a cattle prod. It actually means to make the other person uncomfortable. And you say, well, why would you want to encourage somebody in an uncomfortable way? Because some people just want to stay home. Some people just want to live in their past. They don't want to rebuild. They don't want to restore. They just want to whine about it. But encouragement means, come on, you can do this. Pressing them on, inspiring them, and inciting them to move. That's what we need to do with each other. You want to know why love does not last? People are discouraged in their marriages. What do I hear more and more? He doesn't understand me. He doesn't communicate with me. He doesn't even care about me. She doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand how hard I work. She doesn't understand why I'm doing all this. She thinks I don't love her. I hear this over and over again because there's not enough encouragement. In fact, the discouragement is taking over in our marriage. And believe me, anyone who's married, there are times when it just feels like you're just in a whole field of discouragement. But here's the good news. There's an antidote to that cancer. There's an antidote to that poison called discouragement. You know what it is? What is it? Encouragement. Encourage one another, he says. Encourage one another and build them up. That's what you need to do. That's what I'm asking you to consider today, is the art of encouragement. In fact, I even want to go a little further. You know, we hear in James how terrible the tongue is. How many of y'all have ever heard of the tongue, right? It's a mighty fire that destroys a whole forest of trees and everything. But what about if we were to use the tongue in a positive direction? What about using the tongue in a positive way? In fact, James 3 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Think, oh my goodness. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brother and sister, this should not be, James says. What does he mean, this should not be? That we shouldn't ever praise? We shouldn't both praise and curse. In fact, I love Proverbs 18:21. Listen to me today, men and women. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it, those who care for it, talk about your tongue, those who honor your tongue, those who are aware of this, will eat its fruit. Solomon has a great proverb here. He says, your tongue is the source of life and death. It can make a difference. You know, I've seen more than anything else in my whole marriage counseling life is the power of the tongue to tear down marriages and relationships and destroy the foundations of trust and respect because of the tongue. Lord, help us all. But here's what I want to tell you today. To choose to use your tongue to encourage your spouse. To choose to use your tongue to encourage your children. To use your tongue to encourage your office mates and your neighbors and your friends and even here at church. You know what? Encouragement's a good thing here too. We have love relationships, and how many churches have you known that have split over the use of a tongue, and discouragement begins to build until a church actually splits apart? It's a sad truth. The tongue truly does have the power of life and death in it. And I just want to encourage you. How often do you speak words of encouragement? In fact, one of the latest marriage surveys said that the average couple spends less than 4 minutes a day in conversation. The average couple spends less than 4 minutes a day in real conversation. And then you wonder in that conversation how much of that 4 minutes is encouraging. How much of it is, listen now, we got to, hey, now you didn't, you know, how much of that is encouraging? Very little, I'm afraid. So I know we live busy lives. I know that we're going every which way. But I'm here to tell you, as your friend, as your pastor, as a marriage counselor, that these words, these moments of encouragement can make your love last. They're the antidote to discouragement. In fact, I began to think about it. Isn't it beautiful that God uses encouragement for us? Now, I don't think it's any surprise. I want you to know, before that gift came Friday, I already had this message planned, okay? Because God encouraged our spirit with that gift right now, didn't he? He has a way of knowing what kind of encouragement we need. But I got to thinking about it. This, even God uses forms of encouragement to encourage us as Christians, doesn't he? He uses two forms, and I think these are the two kinds that your spouses and your children and your friends need from you. The first kind he uses is words. He uses his own word as an encouragement word. And again, we don't have time to go through all this list, but I just listed up three scriptures that really encourage my spirit. You can look these up for yourself and put them on your mirror at home. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God's given us encouragement that when we go through difficulty, he is right there with us to protect us. I love that. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You know that God loves you, right? Because of his great love for us. He did this in Christ. And then Zephaniah, we don't often go to the book of Zephaniah, but Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. How about that? The encouragement of knowing the word of God. And there's so much more. So many more. I bet all of you have a favorite verse of encouragement in the scripture. So even God, excuse me, even God uses words. Men, we are the less wordy of the two. Men, God uses words. We have to use words. Encouragement usually comes to the form of words. Let's talk to them. Let's talk to our wives. Let's tell her what we think, what we feel about her. Let's encourage her with words. But God didn't just finish with that. He didn't just give us a Bible and say, good luck, God bless you. No. The second one is just as important. He uses his presence, his Holy Spirit. Isn't the Holy Spirit an encouragement to you? Isn't that a daily presence of God with them? Acts 9:31 says the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. You see, the Holy Spirit is God's presence within us, and part of his job is to convict, yes, but also to encourage. He has been sent by God to sit in our hearts and say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. I got your back. I've not left you. I don't just use words. I'm with you. We need sometimes Jesus with skin on, don't we? That's each other. But we also need Jesus in our hearts encouraging us to keep going. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love is poured out into us through that Holy Spirit. And then Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You want to know if you're saved? I tell you what, if there's any one question I hear more than any other question, how can I know that I'm saved? Because we lack that assurance, don't we? Some people have that insecurity in their spirit. Am I saved? I'm not a good person. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. Well, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is there to assure us that we are a child of God. And that's great. Because I don't deserve it either. I understand exactly. Let's move on. How do you express encouragement? Let's talk about expressing encouragement just a minute. That's why I call this the art of encouragement. Because you have to be wise about how and when you do this. There are certain things that need to be done in the right way. And I think it all begins right here in Ephesians 5:21, where the scripture says that we should submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. I think it all comes back to this beginning point in marriage. And you can always look at Ephesians 5 and see all this is where the husbands and the wives' responsibilities are spelled out. But before you get into all that detail, the scripture has a very simple sentence, one sentence. He says, you need to be submitting to each other out of reverence for Christ. And so as you think about expressing this encouragement, your idea is not how can I help her encourage me, or how can he help, how can each other help, but how can I help her? How can I encourage her? To submit to them means to be more concerned about the other than ourselves. Now, you need to avoid a couple of these kinds of expressions. You know what? Empty flattery means absolutely nothing. Oh, honey, I just think you're the best thing that's ever been. You're going, right, right? Do you know when someone is using empty flattery? Do you know? Because you know what? In fact, empty flattery, you know what it really means? What do you want? Right? Right? Come on. When somebody starts flattering you, buttering you up, you're saying, okay, where's my wallet? Empty flattery is not what I'm talking about here. When you're just trying to butter up, if you're trying to manipulate, that's not encouragement at all. Sincerity is a point here. It's got to be sincere. And also you have to avoid excessive exaggeration. You know, going overboard feels like sarcasm, you know? Overboard, just excessive exaggeration about how wonderful you are and what all that you've done. Oh, my goodness. And just goes overboard. You go, wait. That's not what I'm talking about here. And believe me, each other, people can read right into that. And they know that we're not telling the truth. That's not true encouragement. So you need to avoid these kind of expressions. But let me tell you what to add. this to me gets at the heart of what real encouragement is. And you might think that what I'm talking about is you cooked a good meal tonight. I appreciate you picking up your socks off the floor. I know you appreciate those things, but you know what I mean? Sometimes we think encouragement is nothing more than just rewarding somebody for doing something good. And that's okay to a certain level. But the kind of encouragement that I believe he's talking about here and the kind that I want to encourage you to have is that much deeper encouragement. Where number one, you express their value to you. You let them know how important they are to you. This is where you really encourage someone in their being, who they are, not what they do. Because what you do, if all you're going to do is say thank you, I appreciate what you've done, then they still feel like they're just serving. You know, they're just pouring out because you're trying to do something. But when you talk about, honey, without you, I would never be the man that I am today. I believe you, God has brought you to me to help me become all that I need to be. See what I mean? There's the expressing the value that someone has to you, how important they are to you, what a great gift they are from God. And really meaning that too. And number two, to point out their strengths. And really, what I love about this is praising them for their unique skills. You know what that means? That means that you're aware, that you've been watching, that you see who they are, and you say, wow, God has gifted you in amazing ways in these areas, and I'm just blown away at what you can do. And again, I don't want to use this as an opportunity to lift the Beals up, but to see Miss Dan up here playing and singing where it was just a couple of years ago when she said, I can't do that. There's no way I can play and sing. And now she's playing and singing and leading worship. And I just really appreciate that gift. And I know she doesn't do it for glory. But I'm just saying, you know, when you see somebody's unique abilities and their skills, you say, you know, wow, thank you, God, for what he's done. And I've seen so many skills in all of you there. And then how about this? Number three is also to focus on their potential. Supporting the risk into the future. You know, as God leads us all into new venues and new ways, I mean, one of the greatest encouragements you can do is say, honey, I believe in you. You know what? We're together in this. We will make it. I believe that God has put you in this place for a purpose in a time like this. When you go off to college and have to take your praxis test and all those difficulties and you have to start new jobs or you have to go somewhere else or all of it. I mean, there's so many challenges. And this is that place where encouragement comes as an underneath and lifts them up. Saying, look, I believe in you in the future. It's not about what they do. It's about who they are. This is the encouragement of the heart that I think really would help marriage and help love last. Let's talk about a few examples. There's so many, and these all may not work for you, but if I were to give you some examples from my experience, these are the ones. Like for him, if you're talking about a guy, you got to understand what I believe is the heartfelt need of men. I mean, they're leaders. They're workers. They value their work. They want to be respected for who they are. And so, you know, you might want to tell us we're beautiful. That's fine. But men, in my experience, are people that need to be valued for who they are and what they do. Their work is so important to us. And we try to lead. So here's one thing I would encourage you ladies and you children to tell your fathers, your husbands, your friends. I trust you. I believe in you. Men need to be encouraged to know that people believe in them, that people trust them, that when he gets down to it, honey, and we got to go through a difficult plan, I believe that you will have the answer, that you will get us through. Telling you, it just makes us swell, doesn't it, guys? when our significant other says, I believe you, I trust in you. Number two, I appreciate how you serve our family. I see again so many men who feel like they're out there serving and working, and they don't feel like they always get the appreciation. They don't feel like people understand how much they're doing out there. But to just take a minute to encourage them, I appreciate what you're doing to serve our family. And then, number three, I think men want to know that you see that we're in the process. I love who you're becoming through Christ. I know you're not there, just like nobody is, but we're becoming through Christ. So to understand these things, these are just examples, some of them that I would give you, so many more. But to say, use your words and your presence to say, look, I believe in you. I'm behind you. I appreciate you for what you're doing. And I love who you're becoming. I see that you are striving to become a better man. And I'm so proud, and I love who you're becoming. And then for her, and I know I'm in very dangerous territory talking about women. There's no easy ones there, but if I understand from my experience, women are concerned about whether they're going to be alone. They want to know you're there, men. They want to know that we recognize their sacrifice. They want to know that they are important in comparison to everything else. That's why, to me, if you want to encourage women, here's what I could suggest you consider. I treasure you above all others. You know, guys, sometimes they feel like that their second priority, that job and money making and church and even all the other things can be a higher priority than them. So one of the greatest encouragements you can give them is just say, look, I value you, I treasure you above all other things, more than anything. Number two, I will be with you always. One of the greatest fears I hear in my counseling office is I don't know if he will be there in the difficult times. Men, you need to encourage your wife. I'll be there. I take the words of the marriage ceremony very seriously. In sickness and in health. Forsaking all others, keep it only unto you as long as you both shall live. And then I hear this all the time as well. Women say, I don't know if men understand the cost of being a mother, a wife. So I would say to guys, number three would be, I appreciate all the sacrifice you give to our family. Just recognize that being the woman, the wife, the mother is a huge, huge sacrifice. You know, one of my new heroes. Great. Yeah. You know, they just found some old letters from Harry S. Truman. You realize that during his time as president, they found 1,300 letters from his time as president. And these letters were written to his wife. Apparently, every trip Harry Truman ever took away from home, every single trip he took as president away from his wife at home, he stopped and sat down at a desk and wrote a letter to his wife, encouraging her. I know I have to be away on business, but my heart is with you. Over 1,300 letters. So that you could look at those letters and look at his schedule. Every single day, he took a minute to sit down at a table and write a word of encouragement. I would encourage us to do the same thing. Not just men, but women too. Make a commitment to take a little bit of time to defeat the poison of discouragement that we all face sometimes. And it's amazing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your spouse's face. That's right. I want you to make them look at you I want you to say, I value you. You're the gift God has given me. I'll be here with you, come thin, thick or thin, good or bad, up or down. I'm with you all the way. And I know we're not there yet, but I'm willing to work with you, and you work with me, and God can take us where we need to be. I just want you to take physical control of them and say, I care about you, and I'm with you. Like I said, I don't know. I've talked to many of you in the counseling office as well, and many over the years. I don't know what you're facing right this minute. But today, this altar is open, and Darlene's going to be right back there. Maybe you would like to go as a couple. All this month, we're going to be doing couple things. So maybe you want to go and pray as a couple. Maybe you want to go by yourself. It doesn't matter. But what I would say is today is the day to come to the Lord and pray. Because you need to encourage one another. You need to lift each other up. Because the tongue has the value of life and death. And your spouse, your friends, your neighbor, your children need to hear the good word of encouragement from your heart today. Lord God, as we come to this, your altar time, I pray, Lord, that you would put encouragement upon our lips. I know there are so many spouses, so many husbands, so many wives that are discouraged today, heavy with the burden of life, heavy with the burden of parenting and marriage, financial issues and personal issues and health issues that are welling up, and sometimes they can get so discouraging. Lord, that's the time when we, as the loved one, need to turn and give them a word of encouragement. Just like you do in your holy word to us. Just like you do through your spirit in us. You're right there saying, I love you. I love you. I care about you. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to walk with you. Lord, our marriages are so important. The very foundation of our society that you built. We want that love to last. I want to be this older couple standing on the beach looking out over the water. I want to be that older couple that have survived the test of time for as long as you give us life on this earth. I know there are many here who have lost their loved ones, and I mourn with them. Lord, they have other encouragements to give to other family members, other friends, and other neighbors today too. So Lord, this altar is open. Darlene is ready for them in the back. Let's just take a minute.